Extend Christian greetings to each one this morning. As we've gathered in here, I trust that we will be fed and encouraged as we go through this part of the service here this morning. There's a message that has come to me, and I struggle maybe to share a little bit this morning because there's so many aspects of it, and there's so many ways that we can go again, and I feel like I'm going to do injustice to it, because there's something that we each and everyone has experienced, and that as we went through the Sunday school hour, I was amazed. Yes, I read the Sunday school lesson, but I didn't think about how maybe it would tie together with the message I feel called to share this morning. But my message title this morning is this: Forgiveness, God's Cure for Bitterness. You can turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We know that passage very well. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. We're going to read that at this time. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. As I think of this verse here, it talks about a root of bitterness. And it talks about a root that is laying dormant. It's there. Trees are dying at this point in time. Well, we say dying. They're not really dying. The tree leaves are falling off. They're going through their winter, getting ready for winter. But as I think about a root in a tree, my mind goes back to a property I had in Andover. And in that woods there, it had a lot of woods on that property. And in that woods was a lot of beech trees that had been logged sometime before, and it lays pretty wet in there. And beech trees do well in wet soil. And so there's a lot of beech trees in there. And it did get, some of them did have the disease that has come through and hurt some of those trees, but that's not where I want to go. But as I think about those beech trees and that property, there's something about a beech tree that amazed me as I viewed it. There's a big tree there, a big beech tree, and over beside it is a bunch of little trees coming off the same root system. You see, beech trees have shallow roots. They don't do a lot of downward roots. They do a lot of shallow roots. And they go out many, many feet. And they're so close to the surface. And as those roots come up, sometimes there'll be a new sprout, a new shoot go off that root, and there's another tree there. It makes the woods come back fast, I would say that. But as I think about this message this morning, and those trees, you see those trees, there was paths that had been cut through the woods when they logged it. They had cut paths through there, and I wanted to have those paths opened again. But with these root system and the way they grow trees, till I bought the property, it was filled up again. Those trees grew right up because the root structure was there. It was ready, grounded and formed, and it didn't take much to shoot a tree up out of. And once it was there, it grew well because the roots were there to give it sustaining life. I think about this verse here that we read in Hebrews chapter 12. This root of bitterness lays there. It goes out many different ways. We don't know. Sometimes you'll see a sprout that comes up. And oh, if we follow it back, it goes to another reason why there's bitterness in our life in this area. Maybe it comes to a different reason. So we need to, as we think about this root of bitterness, sometimes where the bitterness looks like is not where the bitterness actually starts at. Maybe that's not where the root structure is at. And to take care of it, we must deal with the main problem. As I worked with those trees, I had to start cutting them off as soon as there was a shoot coming up. Because I didn't want to cut the main tree to keep my roadways open in that woods. I had to cut them off right away. But I think about today, maybe sometimes there's some big trees that we want to harbor and we want to keep that we don't want to cut off. But we still don't want the little shoots coming up off of. Well, let's look at what's the word bitterness, the root of bitterness. Bitterness has this thought of, if you look it up, it kind of has an idea of maybe like acid. It just works on you. It's eating there. Maybe I'll use another illustration. Maybe a poor illustration, but it's not acid, but it works in the same thing as in the mechanic shop. Sometimes people would walk through with a styrofoam cup, and we didn't always do the most loving things to our brother sometimes. We had this little joke sometimes that a styrofoam cup in a mechanic shop is not a very good thing. Because brake clean on the bottom of a cup of whatever's in there in a styrofoam cup will eat through it really fast. And there's not enough time for you to set that cup down. The contents will oftentimes be drained if it's a good brake clean. And I think about that as I think about this acid, this bitterness. It can eat. It'll eat through where you don't want it to. Bitterness eats through. And it'll show up some way or another. Bitterness often doesn't hurt just one person. Bitterness is going to rob you of any joy and rejoicing in your life. It's going to rob you of that. It's going to suck the life right out of your body. And you're going to feel miserable, and you're going to struggle with relationships. You're going to struggle with feelings towards people, and you're going to struggle all through life if you try to leave a little root of bitterness in your life. It's there. It's a tendency for each and every one of us to have that root fester and grow in our life. Bitterness, I believe, can start with such a small thing. It can start with small feelings. And it starts building and growing. I found it in my own life. It starts with such a small thing. And it destroys relationships. Think about the marriage relationship. It's just such a small thing that a feeling that you have, and maybe resentment or you that are married probably understand what I'm trying to say. It's such a small thing that can fester in a relationship and grow, and you can let it just grow and get to be a big thing and to drive you and your partner apart if you don't stop it. If you don't realize what it is doing in your marriage. It can destroy friendships. A little word whispered, a little unkindness, and little feelings get started and you start dwelling on them. Pretty soon this root of bitterness starts sprouting. Until you have a big tree in us if you deal with it. Friendships are driven apart. It can drive a good wedge between two good friends. Bitterness can separate them. Before I go into the part of forgiveness, I'm just trying to give a groundwork of what I believe is bitterness. And to help you to think and to ponder in your own life. Is there anything in my life that I have that is festering and feeding this root of bitterness. I'm just trying to open it up, and as the thoughts have come to me in what I need to look for in this root of bitterness. Has there ever been any time in your life where there's been maybe a bitterness against God and where He has led you? Why did God lead you there? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do what He asked me here in this area or that area? And you struggle with it, and you kind of build a resentment instead of just saying, "Lord, I'm here. Use me." What about bitterness in where God has placed you and led you? As you came into this life, I remember as a youth as a young boy one time, I thought that the Lord could have chose a better family for me to be raised in. I'll be honest with you. There's so many other families that are so much better than what my family was. I thank the Lord that has changed in my thought process, but it was probably more a time I was going through in my life, but be that as it may, there's an aspect that you can get resentment for it, and you can let bitterness grow in your life. My parents, I'm not saying for me, but we can look as youth and say, our parents just don't understand. So-and-so over there is allowed to do it. Why can't I? Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. I want to pull a verse out here. As we think about this bitterness that can fester. As I go to this verse, I want you to think with me. What does God... I said the title of the message is Forgiveness. God's cure for bitterness. We can be bitter against whoever we want to. We can make that choice in life. We can be bitter against God. But do you think God had a right to be bitter against us? Romans chapter 9, verse 20. Nay, O man... Let's read verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? And we could go on to read there, but as I pull out that verse there, in the last part of verse 20, why hast thou made me thus? Why, O Lord, did you place me where I'm at? Why? And we let bitterness grow. Think about the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. As sin nature came on, did God have to extend forgiveness to us? No, it's a choice of God. Man says, God, in my own words, God said, man has fallen. He's turned against me. He's done what I told him not to do, and God could have said, I'm going to wipe them all off. Enough of this. But no, God extends forgiveness to man. And he right away starts, even before man's sin, he starts to wonder what we can do to bring man back to God. And he starts extending forgiveness at that time. God didn't have to. God didn't owe us anything. There is nothing that we have done that makes us that we need that God That we deserve God's forgiveness is what I'm trying to say. Let's go in our Bibles to Luke chapter 17. And I'm going to pull the rest of the message out of this passage here as we think of bitterness and forgiveness. We looked at the first part about what bitterness is, how it can lay roots in our hearts and lives. And now we're going to look at forgiveness. Things we need to do in our lives. I'm going to take the time in Luke chapter 17 to read the first 10 verses. Then saith he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had a faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by when he has come from the field, Go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, Make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the thing that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which were commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Cease reading there. I believe in this passage here this morning that this passage has some answers for bitterness in our lives. Let's read, or let's open this passage up and look at what we can do. Some answers for bitterness. What is a trespass? Let's start there. As we think about this verse 3, and most of my thoughts are going to be pulled from verse 3 on, as we think about the offenses will come. But verse 3, take heed to thyself if your brother trespass. What is a trespass? We don't use that word real much. And if you look it up in the Greek, it means to err, especially to sin. Okay, so it has a context of to err and especially to sin. In other words, and it goes on to say that some other words that can be used is false, offend, sin, trespass. So that's where they get the word trespass from. Because there's some words that will fall into the same category of what that means. So as we look at those words there, to offend someone, and maybe it borders on sin or goes to sin. I believe this passage, starting at verse 3, has some answers for bitterness. Let's go to verse 3. We read verse 1 and it says offenses will come. So we have the offense. If thy brother trespass against you, he's done an offense to you. I don't care this morning whether it's a big offense or a small offense, it's still an offense. You're offended. It just don't feel right to you. You might even take this offense to the point that you say, well, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. Or you totally try to ignore that person. That's where it's going to go to if you let it fester and brew. But the offense is there. Whether it's big or small, it happened. Now's your choice. What are you going to do with it? Your brother has trespassed against you. He has offense against you. What are you going to do with it? And again, this morning I struggle to share this because sometimes some of these thoughts are maybe actually my own bringing out. I don't have totally all Scripture to back it up, but I believe it's what the Lord has for me to share here this morning. The offense happened. You have to decide what to do with it. Now, what I'd like to have you decide this morning, in my own life, in my own mind, I need to decide where the problem lies. Is there something actually wrong? Is the offense worthy of me being offended about? What I'm trying to tell you is I need to look at myself first, and you need to look at yourself first as the offense comes. How do we know where the offense lies? How do we know where the offense is? Whether it's worthy of going on or not. If you read in this verse here, trespass also has the meaning of sin. Where do you go to? Do you read the Scriptures? Do you study the Scriptures as you ponder that? Is it sin? Is the brother, the offense that I feel, is it actually right? Is it something I should actually feel offended about? Look at the Scriptures for truth. Where is it at? Evaluate it in your own life. If it's nothing other than your own hurt feelings, deal with it. Don't let the root of bitterness take over. But if you evaluate it and you realize that there's some hidden thing in there, that's sin. There was a wrong attitude. There was something shared that was not right. We have to evaluate it, you see, and know where it stands at. Too often in my own life, I call it an offense when it's only my own hurt feelings. We walk around in this life with the idea that nobody can touch us. They shouldn't do anything that hurts me. It should all be to pad around myself and to be all right and watch my own feelings. We need to look at the facts and decide in our minds if it's sin or not. Because at that point in time, we decide whether we're going to let it fester and build. And I don't see that in this verse 3. We're going to go on to that here in just a little bit. But we decide whether we're going to hang on to it. What category are you going to place it in? If we stop and just let it fester and grow in our lives, we let a plant, that root of bitterness, start to grow. And it's growing fast sometimes. Maybe sometimes not so fast, but in my own life it grows pretty fast. And it comes from that root of bitterness. So we must evaluate it. And in this verse 3, I see something else. As we evaluate it, we must decide what we do with it. Whether we just realize it's nothing, we need to deal with it ourselves. Or if it has some merit to it, we need to go and share it. We see that in verse 3. Rebuke him. Go share it. The Bible has much advice as if you think about going and sharing an offense or talking to our brothers or sisters. It has much advice, and we're not going to go into that this morning real much. But there's a few things I'll just share briefly across. We must consider ourselves lest we're also tempted. We know that Bible verse. Consider yourself lest you're also tempted. Must treat everyone as we would like to be treated. That Bible verse of the Golden Commander. My mind can't pull it up. As we think about that, as treat others as you would want to be treated, and you must do it out of love. A few things that came to my mind as I thought about this. But you must go share it. If it has any merit to it, you must go share it. This passage here opens it up that you, as the one offended, goes and shares it. This passage gives the offended party, I believe, responsibility to open the communication. But remember, it must follow the guidelines that are in the other parts of the Scripture. But open up. There's many other passages in the New Testament that... most of the other ones in the New Testament require the one that has created an offense to initiate the reconciliation. But not in this verse, I believe. So as we think about that in this verse, There's an offended party. A person that's offended. Maybe there's sin, and we finally need to go share it. He initiates the reconciliation. He initiates to open the communication. And if the other person is following the New Testament guidelines on him in creating an offense, that he's supposed to initiate the conversation, you see two people that are going the same way. They want to patch brotherhood relationships, brotherhood feelings. And as they come together and they realize that there's a problem here, they're going to work at resolving it because they both want to end at that place of resolved issues. They don't want bitterness to grow. They don't want anything to drive a wedge between them as brothers and sisters. They patch it up, resolve the conflict, deal with the issue, and move on in life. The second answer I have for bitterness, as we think about forgiveness, is God's cure. In this passage here, I believe in verse 4, we see that this forgiveness has no limits. You think about God's forgiveness to you, and you think about what this verse says, and if he trespass against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day. Oh, brothers and sisters, how can you, for the same offense, 7 times a day? I struggle humanly to think about that. Can I forgive my brother 7 times a day for the same offense? Isn't he ever going to learn? My question today for each and every one of us to think about, how many times a day does God have to forgive you? How many times? What about the sin of offending someone? What about the sin of the offense and the bitterness that starts to grow if we don't deal with it? How many times has God had to deal with that in your life? A negative thought that you had to your brother or sister. Matthew 18, we have that pass in verse 21 and 22. Jesus calls to 70 times 7, many more times than what it says here in this passage in Luke. I believe as we think about Christ forgiving us and as we need to extend it to our brother and sister, how clean does Christ forgive you? Well, we know that verse in Psalm 103, verse 12, for as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed your transgression. That's his forgiveness to you. You as a needy creature, a needy soul, one that stands in so much need of forgiveness because we're such sinful creatures. As we view this, the forgive with no limits, it leaves us no claim to hold on to anything. I'm talking about this in this point more than just the words, I forgive you. I'm talking more than that. You see, I can say the words, I forgive you. But I can still in my heart says, but you don't know. You don't understand what they did to me. It holds just a little bit of strings to it. And you hold those reins so tightly because you don't understand. I forgive. But it's a surface forgiveness. It doesn't go from the heart. I can find that in my own life. Can we forgive truly? No, we say we don't forget, but can you truly forgive? And I believe you can know when that love comes in your heart for that brother or that sister and you really desire the best for them. Unforgiveness at this time does nothing but hurt does nothing to hurt the offender. It only hurts yourself. If you don't forgive unconditionally, without anything attached to it, if you don't forgive that way, and you start holding on to it, you're going to find a root of bitterness start springing in your life. And it does nothing to hurt the offender. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Can you forgive unconditionally like that? What about if God would forgive you only as you forgive other people? It's a serious thought. The third point, I think, as we think about this forgiveness, God's cure for bitterness, and some answers that we have to cure bitterness. Verse 5 to 9, we see the disciples, the apostles, said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Lord, this sounds so hard. How do you forgive someone like that? How do you go to that unconditional forgiveness and just extend it to them? I believe you need to forgive because you want a relationship with God. And you want to be obedient to Him. And He commands you to forgive. And the disciples asked the Lord to increase their faith, and I believe we need to do that as well today. We need to ask the Lord, increase our faith. How do we get there? How do we put this in shoe leather? How do we work out our faith in such a way that our forgiveness is just readily extended to that person? Maybe we look too much at it from the man's perspective and say, what good is it going to do if I forgive? They're not going to change. We're called to forgive. You forgive because you want a relationship with God and want to be obedient to Him. Faith is an action word. All God wants is obedience. He wants you to step out and do your part and let your faith in God do the rest. Chop down that tree of that root of bitterness that's trying to spring up. And realize that it's faith in God. Lord, I don't understand why you brought this offense, this trial in my life. But it's what you want for me. And in these verses here, we have Jesus telling a story about this servant, the servant that came in from a day's work in the field. I believe he was tired. The servant was tired. And he comes in from the field. And I don't see here that the master of the house has done an honest day's work. He's probably sat around. And the master says to him, go make food for me. And after I've eaten, then you eat. And doesn't take into the fact that the servant has done all the labor. Because it was what was called for a servant at that time. Do you think he felt like first serving himself, then serving the master? I mean, he's the one that did the work. But he didn't do that. You see, he gave up of self. And he could at that point in time in his life, he could have left a resentment and bitterness start growing, I believe, and said, it's just not fair. I'm the servant. What are you to God? You're but His servant. It's your duty to do. Obey Him. Be obedient to Him. We can so quickly get the picture mixed up in our minds that it is all about me and myself, and we forget that we're serving the Lord. We're serving a master. That we are to put first in priority in our lives. May God help us to put Him first. And keep the relationship with God of priority. Fourth point, I think, from these verses. pulling from the same verses, verses 5 to 9. We forgive, not because the offender has done something to deserve forgiveness, but it's something that we forgive because it's what is called of us. There's nothing in this passage here, these verses here, that relates to whether a person is worthy of forgiveness or not. Think about yourself and your Christian life. Do you deserve to be forgiven? It's a gift God gives to you. He holds out to you. This servant here in this verses 5 to 9. Did the master deserve to be served first? Really think with me. If you were that servant and you came in and you had to serve that master, and would you say that he deserved to be served first before you? Human nature says no. He had all day of being around the house that he could have eaten. He's not the one burning the calories. And the servant could have started to feel sorry for himself. The overworked servant could have started to feel sorry for himself. I don't deserve to be abused this way. I'm not going to do it for you. It gets pretty close when we think of forgiveness. We can say, well, you don't understand. They didn't say the right words when they came. Or they didn't say anything at all. I'm not going to forgive them. That's not what the servant did. This servant just went and did it. It was his duty to do, and he did it. Well, as we view Christ and what he has done for us, so Christians need to go through life forgiving those who offended him, whether they deserve it or not, because of what Christ has done for you and forgiven you. Verse 10, last point I have, comes from verse 10. And I touched on this a little bit. As we think about, it is our duty to do. We're unprofitable servants. As I think of this point, and we think about forgiveness, God's cure for bitterness, this servant did it without any pride. That's what I want to pull in from my forgive without any pride. We must view ourselves that there is nothing in my life that I can take pride in. Or I'm just a sinner that's been forgiven so much. I'm just an unprofitable servant. I just do what the Lord lays in front of me. I just do it. And if he can receive glory from it, praise to him. He deserves it. We dare not take pride in our forgiveness and thinking that we have it made. We've forgiven. And there's nothing. I've done it better than somebody else. No, we dare not go there. Maybe we need to view it more as when there's offense comes, and instead of letting the root of bitterness start growing, we should look at it as we think about this idea of pride. We should look at it and say, well, I shouldn't have even been offended. I shouldn't even have left it bother me. The Pharisee and the publican, we know that account very well. There was a Pharisee, he was proud, and he started lifting himself up. I'm so much better than this publican over here. God help us to forgive without any pride and lifting up a self. Closing verse, let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Start reading at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Excuse me, in verse 10. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to highlight again at the close of this message, as we think about roots and the root of bitterness, and God's cure for it is forgiveness. He's the one that has created and made it for us as he started there in the Garden of Eden. And I come to this verse here in verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do you want God to forgive you as you forgive others? It's a serious question as we ponder. How am I forgiving others? How am I letting fences bother me? Is it destroying relationships in my life? Or is everything that I'm thinking about my brother and sister honoring, pleasing to God, and building them up? Who are we working for? Let us kneel for prayer.